Oh God, take our minds and think through them, take our lips and speak through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. Growing up, I spent a lot of time at a lake that's not too far from our house, about 90 miles. We'd go every weekend, any chance we got, and it was a large man-made lake in central Kansas. The name of it's Lake Wilson, if you know where that is. It's about a 13-mile from dam to mouth of the river, about 2 to 3 miles wide, surrounded by bluffs all the way around. And being man-made, it was made the year after I was born, so I'm 1 year older than this lake. And we spent a lot of time there. And then growing up, we continued to spend a lot of time. As an adult, I ended up getting my own boat and spent a tremendous amount of time. I know that lake very, very well. And when one time in the spring when I was fishing there, I was with my oldest daughter, who finally came to church today, is with us. With her mom, and she was pregnant with her, and she was, and we were in the bluff. We're next to the dam, and you can really get out of the wind at this lake because there's a lot of bluffs around. But then you don't really know what's going on in the open water. And we were fishing along the dam, and it was springtime, and a storm came up. And as we got away from the dam to try to find our way back to the boat ramp, we noticed that not all the lights were on around the lake. So all of our landmarks were gone, and it was very, very dark. And the boat ramp where we're going, the light was turned off as well. So as we were going, I was sitting in the 16-foot boat holding up a spotlight, and we would go down a wave, and the spotlight would face water. And then we'd come up on the wave, the top of wave, and we'd look around and see if we're pointing the right direction. And she was laying, pregnant with her, on the floor of the boat with a life jacket on, holding on to a life jacket. And now this is a boat that was older, and it had 2 6-gallon fuel tanks, gas tanks. So when you ran out of one, you had to switch. And I'm thinking to myself, please don't run out of gas. Motor, please don't die. And battery, please don't run out while I've got this bright spotlight on. We finally work our way and find the boat ramp. And I've got the spotlight on the boat ramp. I can see it. We're just about there. We're probably not quite 20 yards from the boat ramp. The motor dies, the battery went dead, we're done. So I jump in the water with a rope in tow, trying to swim and pull this boat. Fortunately, it was again, unfortunately, the wind was coming out of the north, so it was pushing into that boat ramp. But fortunately, it was pushing us into the shoreline, and I was able to hook onto the trailer, crank it on, and go. Now, the drive home. I'm soaked wet. The water was 67 degrees, and I've got a pregnant wife who's, I'm hot, and I have the heater on. That lake is interesting because it has all of these weird landmarks. There's been people drowned at that lake, and the boat's been banged up, and I've seen boats sink, and things can come up very quickly. And that was just one of those instances. In the gospel lesson today, we're seeing somewhat of the similar story, where the disciples are in the boat by themselves and a storm comes up. Now, to set the stage proper, the scripture right before this, how they got to that side of the lake, if you recall, the disciples were in a boat with Jesus this time. Storm comes up, they were frightened, and Jesus calms the water. So now they get done feeding the 5,000, and now they're getting back in a boat. And Jesus says, go on ahead of me. You can almost hear, if you read that whole chapter, you can almost feel the sense of anxiety that the disciples would have at that moment. Now, we can spend a lot of time talking about Jesus walking on water. We can talk about what does that represent. We can talk about there's this true divinity there. And we know, and the disciples say it, you are truly the Son of God. But I think if we did that, we're missing the point. Because miracles are not just signs that Jesus is who he says he is, but they're signs that point to something about our lives and who we are. So I think the gospel is about how we handle fear and how we should handle fear. Remember, Peter got out of the boat, starts walking, and the scripture says, strong winds came up, and Peter began to sink. And Jesus reached out his hand and picked him up and got him back in the boat. This week, I've been doing a lot of traveling. Monday, I left for California. Tuesday, I had a meeting in California, in Sacramento, came home. Tuesday night. Wednesday, I went to work. Wednesday afternoon, I got on a plane and went to Cincinnati, Ohio, to drive along Kentucky into West Virginia for a meeting on Thursday. Went back to Ohio Thursday, flew to Memphis to have a meeting on Friday. And all of those have certain relevance to this gospel. I'm not just telling you to tell you. Wednesday was the storm that hit. We were the last plane out of Kansas City. The airline pilots were afraid that we weren't going to beat the storm. So they had us in the gate standing, and they said, here's what's going to happen. We're going to beat the storm. And I've been on these kind of flights before and end up sitting on a plane, coming back, and nobody beats anything. So we're going to stab you all, stand up and start lining up. So I want zone one loaders first, two, three. When the last person comes off the plane, you're getting on the plane. So they said, okay, now loading pre-board and zone one. There were people still walking on the jetway as we were walking by them to get on the plane. We got on, we left, and we went east to Ohio, and they told us we were the last flight out of Kansas City before that storm hit and all the winds. And if you're friends with my wife on Facebook, she's very upset that we lost our purple tree in the backyard, and that's why I'm very sore right now. So it took out a tree. The winds did that kind of damage. And I've had those kind of winds before where they're scary. Even if we're in shelter, if we're in our own homes, that wind can just scare us because we don't know what's going to happen. We can't see it. It's beyond our control, and we're subject to whatever the wind does. And in our own heart of hearts, it's scary. It scares us. And in this gospel lesson, we see that with Peter. And what's Peter say? Save me. And Jesus reaches out his hands and picks him up and helps him in the boat. How do we handle our own fears? There's all sorts of fears. There's not just fear about the wind and the weather and the things that we heard in the Old Testament. I would be terrified. I'd be tucked way back in that cave if there's a strong enough wind breaking mountains apart and then an earthquake afterwards. But there's other types of fears. There's fears of reaching out. There's fears when we show our heart. We're fearful when we say, I love you for the very first time. We're fearful when we reach out to a stranger. When I was coming back from Memphis, I was traveling with two women, or two younger ladies. One was, and they're in the late 20s. One was older than the other one. One was from New York. One of them's originally from Missouri. One went to a school in New York, college, played softball. The other one went to TCU. And New York, I started calling her New York because she kind of had that era about her. I mean, she was, I am in charge. Here is the agenda you will cover today with your meeting. I'm the executive. And she's telling me what I'm, so okay, that's fine, you got it under control. And she had to drive, and I'm a control freak, so that started rubbing me a little wrong already. But anyway, we're in Memphis, we're in getting gas, and she locks us in the car. I mean, she takes the keys, and the windows are rolled up, and I'm thinking, I look back at the girl from TCU or from Missouri, and I said, you feel like a dog right now? She should have cracked the window a little bit, but she didn't. And I get this knock on my window of the car, and there's a guy standing outside, and he goes, sir, I don't want any money. And I'm like, I can't roll down the window. I'm locked inside. And I open the door, and I said, can I help you? He said, well, I don't want any money. My family, I have two boys, they're at the Burger King around the corner. Can you guys come by and buy us a meal? And I, a dollar meal, that's all I'm asking for. And I said, well, we're kind of in a hurry, and she's not going to let me go. So okay, I said, here's some money. Go do that. And so here comes New York. What did he want? I said, well, he has some family over at Burger King, and they want to get a meal. I bet. That was her reaction. Now, she grew up in the Bronx, and I'll defend her a little bit. She just started at Cerner several years ago, but her second year at Cerner, and I didn't share this in the other sermons, and I probably should have. She was in New Orleans at a trade show, and she was actually mugged walking from the trade show to her hotel. Her and her manager, somebody came up behind her, put a gun to her head, and said, give us your money, your phones, and then run. So to her defense, she had some legitimate fears, opening a door and helping a stranger. But isn't that all of us? Don't we all have fears to open a door and help a stranger? About a week ago, I heard a speaker. Now, I'm in fear right now. I have to have a procedure done tomorrow. And when I got the news 2 weeks ago that I'm going to have a bone graft done and all this stuff with my mouth, I was really fearful. I was scared. I'm still scared. I don't know what's going to happen. It's beyond my control. I feel like I'm in New York's hands again. I don't know what's going to happen. And a week ago, I was really depressed, and Lisa knows that I was really upset about this and full of anxiety. And I got to hear a speaker. And the speaker is a nurse. She's an executive for Rhode Island Hospital. Oh, she said I can share the story, so don't. She's an executive for Rhode Island Hospital. She started up what's called a RIA, a Regional Health Information Office. And she was part of the design team and the executive team to build a cancer center, the best cancer center in the eastern part of the United States, northeastern part of in England, part of the United States. And she was diagnosed at 53 with a 10-year-old single mom with breast cancer. And she tells the story. And she ends up having a mastectomy done. And now she's in remission, so things are good for her right now. But she said, when I was diagnosed, I didn't know how I was going to come home and tell my son. My only son, who's 10 years old, I'm the only mom. How am I going to tell my son? She said, I went home and I told my son that I was diagnosed, that she was diagnosed with breast cancer. They don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of unknowns. We don't know what the treatment is, but I wanted you to know. And the son looked at her and said, paused for a long time and said, I feel guilty. And she said, why do you feel guilty? And he said, I feel guilty because I'm excited Grandma's coming. Without Christmas, without a birthday, it's not a holiday, but Grandma's coming. And she said, you know, you're right. There's silver lining throughout all of this. We're going to create a silver lining list, and that's going to be the first thing on. And she shared her list with us. It's pretty funny, actually, and I can't share some of the things in this setting. But she did a silver linings list, and I'm sitting there going, and I'm worried about this little thing. And so I went, and I talked to her afterwards, and I asked her, can I share your story? She said, yes, and I told her, you know, a little bit about Carrie's mom. And we talked. We shared some stories, and I came back and I told Lisa, I said, I'm going to start a silver lining list. You know how many costumes go with a single tooth missing in Halloween? I can milk this. And then I thought earlier between services, I thought, you know how many conversations I can get out of if I just pull it out and say, oh, and then walk away from a meeting? So I thought of that. So if Gar corners me, I'm pulling that. So all of these things were coming. And you know those silver linings lists, when we're fearful and we create those, are like fingerprints from God. Because Laura had no idea she was going to touch me in such a profound way, or anyone else in that room. And she's been giving that same talk for several years now. It's amazing when we grab the courage, not only to share our life, to share our story, to share our love through Christ with one another, who we touch. And that becomes another fingerprint from God in our lives. We need to hold on to that. When I go tomorrow, my little procedure, the one thing I have to remember that in my fear, that I should pray that God uses me to his glory and not my will. In every fearful situation, we should pray that God uses me for his glory and not my will. I can imagine Peter really wanted to get out of that boat. I can imagine he really wanted to show Jesus how much faith he had in him. And he wanted to show how brave he was. But he was overtaken by fear. And it happens to all of us. And it's okay. Because God sent his only son to take us away from that fear. To take us and deliver us from all of those things that should put us in fear. And lift us up and help us back in the boat. And when he does, and we share that, those become the silver lining list or the fingerprints of God in our lives. You can even think about that in your own life, when you've turned that over, that fear over to God, and how that's impacted you, that fingerprint of God in your life. I've had several accounts of people coming to me after a procedure when I had the four churches in Western Kansas, and I give them unction, and I show up in their hospital room, and they said, a sense of calm just came over me when you put that on me. That's God working in our lives. That's God taking us from fear. That's just God, through Jesus Christ, lifting us up back into the boat. Hold on to that. Pray that God will use you for his glory and not your will. And take note of those silver lining things in your life, the fingerprints of God in your life. Amen.